Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless His Word to our hearts. He's inspired me with it, and I pray that He'll do the same with you. I'd like to speak this morning by the Lord's help from the 121st Psalm. We're titled it, The Lord Our Keeper. Psalms 121, I'd like to read through the chapter and, as the Lord leads, consider some other scriptures as we go. So you might hold your place here in Psalms 121 as we go along. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Begin therefore now. He said, Song of David, I believe, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And many believe that this was likely written or posed as a question. Where's my help going to come from? A recognition that I need some help. I need some assistance. I'm in a difficult place here. And David talked about it in different places, how his adversaries, the enemies, were risen up against him. But in this will I be confident. He said, I will lift up my eyes into the hills. You know, the Lord is our help, and help is there. But we have to lift our eyes off of the problems, off of the storm, off of the waves. We have to choose what our response will be unto it. Will I, like Peter, look and focus on the waves that are all around me? Will I focus on my plight? Or will I lift up my eyes from all of that unto the source of my help? Will I choose to lift up my eyes in my time of trouble? There are times that I may feel my strength not even adequate to lift my own head. You know, in times like that, David said that the Lord, He is the lifter up of my head. Oh, whenever there is so little strength that we have and so little that we can do, thank the Lord that He is there to help us. He's there to give us courage. He's there to give us strength. David said in the 27th Psalm, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When we in our troubles can get our eyes off of the trouble and on to the beauty of the Lord, and realizing and remembering who He is, it changes the whole perspective. So it did for Elisha's servant when he was able to see, despite the enemy, despite the army that was encamped against them, he lifted up his eyes unto the hills, and he saw there in all the hills round about that they were filled with chariots of fire. The army of the Lord, saints, help is there. My desire and burden this morning is that we'll be encouraged in our lives to lift up our eyes unto the hills. Unto the Lord. He's the one that our help comes from. Circumstances of life won't always be conducive to lifting up our eyes. It's not always going to be natural for us to feel encouraged. Don't think yourself unusual or fallen away if you don't feel your heart swelling with courage and joy every day of your life. There was a time when this same David was betrayed. Mutiny was on his hands. His own people spoke about stoning him. The city was burned. The women and children were kidnapped. And they looked at David as being responsible for it. Well, he was the king. And David felt the weight of this, and he saw the, no doubt, the angry glares and the anguish of everybody around him. What did he do? Retreat into the palace, turn tail, so to speak, and run the other direction. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. This wasn't just about positive thinking, mind over matter. It was about God over circumstance. And David encouraging himself in the Lord, not in himself, not in his kingship and in his abilities. But we have to encourage ourselves sometimes in the Lord. It's part of lifting up our eyes away from ourselves, away from our inadequacies, away from people. And lifting up our eyes and our focus to put it on the Lord himself. Again, you might hold your place here, but Psalms, the third chapter. Psalms 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Whenever they said, there's no help for him. There's no help, there's no hope. His circumstance and situation is so pathetic. But Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my hope, my glory and the lifter up of my head. The 20th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 20 and 7, some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. They may put their trust in horses and chariots and their weapons of war and all of that. But as for me, I'm going to remember the name of the Lord our God. You ever found yourself in a battle where it seems like you're oppressed and depressed, pressed down, weighed down, despairing of the future and of how this is going to turn out? You ever find yourself in a place where you start feeling panicky? You know, we need to remember the name of the Lord our God. And if we'll lift up our eyes from the problem and the circumstance, and look back to the times that God has helped us in the past. And I believe that's some of what David no doubt was doing when he encouraged himself in the Lord. He could look back and he could remember, Lord, you helped me with the lion, you helped me with the bear, you helped me with the giant, and on and on and on. You gave this victory to me. You know, every day is a new day and every battle is a new battle. And we need our courage and our strength renewed from day to day. Don't plan on just going in the steam and the strength of today, tomorrow. I'm going to have to go back to the same source of strength, that same well. I'm going to have to lift my eyes again and remember and be reminded, because it's so easy to forget from time to time. Just like the disciples in the time of their storm began to despair of life itself, and wonder if Jesus even cared. Master, don't you care that we perish? We're dying here. Do you not even care? Oh, disciples, have you so soon forgotten all the things the Lord has done for you? Have you so quickly forgotten the miracles and the answers to prayer and all of those things that you've witnessed? But we can look and shake our heads at them only so long when I remember myself in my battles, and every one is a new one, and every storm is a new storm, and it looks so different to me in the moment. It may be different, but our God is forever the same. So let's remember the name of the Lord. Be encouraged to quit looking down at the waves and look up at the one who calms the waves. And so back to Psalms 121, he went on to say, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Think about this. If the Lord truly made the heavens and the earth, then why is my heart so anxious? Then why am I so stressed out? Why is my, I believe, psalmist said in one place, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Lift up your eyes. Remember that the Lord, the one that made the heavens and the earth, is our helper. He is our keeper. You know, sometimes I think we might just need to step outside, lift up our eyes and look at the night sky, and remember that it says He made the stars also. Almost like it was just a, "Oh, let me throw the stars in too." And we look out at it, at the vast expanse of it. And last night's sky, I sure wasn't out there too long, but it was, the stars were so bright. And Venus in the western horizon or sky, it was so bright. It was shining last night. And you look at that night sky and think, the Lord spanned it all. The Lord, by His Word, created all of this. I need to remember. I need to remind myself. The one that made all of this, He's my helper. He will not suffer. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. To suffer means here to allow or permit. He will not permit your foot to be moved. You remember what the scriptures say of Job? The enemy came with complaints to the Lord that you've put a hedge against about him, that I cannot touch him. You know, no matter the host of hell and how they may press against us, I don't think we can fully appreciate or understand the hatred that Satan has for every one of us. He has zero pity, no compassion, no mercy whatsoever. If he were permitted to have his way with any one of us, he would not stop until he had gone to the uttermost of our destruction. He would not stop until he had totally stolen, killed, and destroyed, as Jesus said his purpose is. It's what he has in mind for every one of us. Whenever he tries to work in our lives, when he brings temptation our way, whenever he prompts in the heart of one of his servants to do something so hurtful to us, you know the enemy's purpose, what he's working towards, what he dispatches his imps and demons to try to accomplish, is our discouragement, disheartenment, our despair, our offense, and ultimately our turning away from God into outer darkness. That's why the enemy's trying to work. But aren't you thankful that that's not the focus? That's never in Scripture the focus of the story. Because the enemy is defeated. He is conquered. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I trust this morning that these are things that we each one know. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the particulars of your circumstances, of your battles, your struggles, but I do know this. The enemy is very real, at hand, and I know that he has your destruction in mind. I also know this, that the Lord, if we'll keep ourselves in the shadow of his wings, he will not allow our foot to be moved. He will not. He'll allow the storms to come. He'll allow temptation to come our way. But he will not give permission for our feet to be moved off of the solid rock. And to me, it's comforting, it's encouraging that he will not allow more than what we are able to bear. It's a promise. I can take it to the bank. The Lord's not going to permit to come my way that which would cause my feet to stumble. He doesn't remove our will, our choice. But so long as we'll keep ourselves in the love of God, he won't allow it to come. That means to me that he'll do one of two things. He'll either lessen the storm. He'll either bring down the temperature, reduce the fury of the tempest, or he'll give me added grace and strength to be able to weather it. One way or another, he will not allow more to come my way than what I'm able by his grace to stand. I'm thankful for that hedge. Think about the importance of protection. I've read and heard numerous sources that the private security business is booming right now. That there are more and more people that are hiring private security firms to either give them private security as they travel and through the day, especially celebrities or famous people that might have a target on them for one reason or another. They're willing to expend great amounts of money to try to secure their lives, to have some sense of security in their homes. I've read that there's quite a business right now, even in security dogs. The people will pay over $100,000 for a dog that is trained to protect their owner at all costs. Won't hardly leave their side, and they're willing to pay that kind of money, those that have it, because their security is that important to them. To be able to feel like, and no doubt they see the news headlines of things like the CEO of a major company that's walking into Investor Day in New York City just another day, and somebody comes out with an agenda and pulls a gun, and in a moment his life is snuffed out. They see those kind of things and realize that that could be me as well. And I don't want that to happen, and I understand the sentiment. You know, there's only so much a dog can do. You know, there's only so far that a security guard can protect. There's only so much that the Secret Service can do. We've seen that, haven't we? Not rendering an indictment. There's too much I don't know about what happened when our current president was shot at once and an attempted assassination again. Lots of questions that were raised. Perhaps have not still been fully answered. How was that possible? How did that happen? How did somebody get that close? How did someone get on top of a roof? How did someone get in position with a target like that? It should have never happened. We've got protection for a reason to not permit something like that from happening. Read about a story of Queen Elizabeth. 1980s, There was a man who sounded like on a dare, on a strange whim, decided that he would try to breach the perimeter of Buckingham Palace. He scaled the wall. He got into the property. He went across to the palace itself. And from what I understand, he scaled then a drain pipe. He went onto a terrace, was able to get in through an unlocked door or window. And he went right into the queen's bedchamber. She was still asleep, and it was either the moving of the curtain or he sat on the corner of her bed and awakened her. Of course, very startled and frightened, and so easily realizing her life could have been taken in a moment. Thankfully, it wasn't what he had in mind. He had some conversation with her until security was able to come and intervene and take him away. But it was reminders of the fallacies, the vulnerabilities of earthly security. There's only so far they can go. There's only so far of an extent that they can protect somebody. But people realize and yearn for security and protection. Ukraine right now is asking for security guarantees by the United States. Give us some kind of an assurance in other countries that when we're in trouble, you'll come to our aid. Give us some kind of guarantee that you'll be there when we need you. And so I want to bring it back to what we've been discussing here. Folks, the Lord is our keeper. He that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. You know, every watchdog, every guard at some point is going to become drowsy, is going to go to sleep. And of course, there are ways that they try to layer at protection. But our God, it does not have the limitations that man or dog or horse or chariot or anything else in this earth has. Thank the Lord, He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's always on His job. He's always watching. His ears are always open unto our cry. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and He delivers them from their troubles. Thank the Lord that this sentry, that this guard, our keeper, is never off his duty. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Oh, think about the extent of the Lord's protection. I want you to imagine for a moment something, the most valuable thing to you. Maybe it's something of sentimental value. Maybe it's something that's been passed down generation to generation. Maybe it's your life savings. Maybe it's what you put away for retirement. What do you usually do with things like that? Those things that are the most valuable. Those things that are most precious to you. Do you leave it out on the coffee table? Children, maybe, that come visit, can play with it. Do you leave it out on the sidewalk, exposed to the elements? Do you handle it carelessly when you're walking around with it? Whenever we have something that's so valuable to us, don't we take care of it? We go to extra measures to care for it, to safeguard it, to protect it. Do you know we're valuable to the Lord? Exodus, the 19th chapter. Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Oh, you'll be a peculiar treasure. Scripture says that Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, that he kept him as the apple of his eye. And he repeated the same idea in Scripture where he said, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. That most vulnerable and precious thing that he guards and he protects. I want us to be encouraged today to remember that we are precious in God's sight, that he has invested so much in us. We're bought with a price. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And if he has invested so much in us, you think he's just going to toss us out? You think he's just going to leave us out in the storm unprotected, without any plan for our preservation? He's not going to handle us carelessly. He's going to go to every length to keep us and to preserve us. Philippians, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, says, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the coming of Jesus Christ. The one that started, and Scripture says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He that has invested so much in us, that loves us so dearly, that counts us as so precious to him, he's not going to take us part way and drop us off. He's going to carry us. The Scripture says, even unto the hoary hairs, I'll be your God. Until the very end, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to keep you. I know I've had the enemy come my way and try to discourage me at times to think, okay, you've got a desire to live for God now. But you got a long time to live. And he's so quick to point out the failures of others and shipwreck that other people have made of their life, and mockingly to bring to my mind, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're going to be any different than anybody else? You know, I've got to take hope and confidence not in myself, but I can point the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies, point him right back and say, you go talk to my keeper. You go ask him how he plans to keep me. You go ask him how he plans to preserve my soul. Because my confidence and my assurance, I have subscribed to his security plan. And I believe that he's able to keep me. He's able to preserve and keep that. Believe, Paul said to Timothy, he's able to keep that which you have committed unto him unto that day. No matter what days come between now and then, God is able to keep and to preserve that which we've committed unto him. So he said, the Lord is thy shade. Remember Jonah, whenever he was, well, so much could be said of Jonah. But as he sat out in the hot sun, the Lord in his tender compassion and mercy caused a gourd, that's a fast growing gourd, but he caused a gourd to grow up and to grow over and to provide a shade for him. It says that the sun shall not smite thee. We know we enjoy and are thankful for the sunshine after a long season of gloomy cloudiness. But this isn't talking about just the brilliance of the sunshine. It's talking about the oppressive, stifling, even dangerous heat that can exist in the hottest of climates. That heat that will so quickly dehydrate, sap you of your strength and your energy, that'll burn you, that'll ultimately take your life. The sun shall not smite thee. That the Lord will preserve us. He has a way, whenever the furnace, whenever the fire gets so hot, He has a way of shielding. He knows how much we can take, and the Lord is able to provide something that will shield us from the blast of it. Isaiah, the 25th chapter. Isaiah chapter 25. And the 4th verse. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Folks, I don't know how people make it without this keeper. They don't very well. Nor would I, without the keeping, grace, and power of God in my life or any one of ours. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. How much evil is there in the world? You see evil very often? Do you hear about evil very often? You know, it's not only from the pagans, the atheists, the agnostics. It's also from religious people, religious circles and spheres. There is evil and wickedness all around us. It's almost like we're a ship on the ocean of the evil and wickedness that's all around us. It is prevalent. It is abundant all about us. You know, a ship doesn't sink by the abundance of the water on the outside, only by the abundance of the water on the inside. And the Lord has said, He shall keep thy soul. It's more than the body that the Lord is interested in preserving. The Lord is able, and I fully believe and am persuaded that He's able to heal, that healing is still part of the atonement of Jesus' blood. But the Lord's first and foremost interest in any one of our lives is not to preserve our life for a few more days down here on this earth. It's not to give us a fountain of living waters for the body, but rather a fountain of living waters for our soul, that we don't have to be affected. Look at the talk of diseases and COVID as it went around, and the concern about germs and all of that. You know, there was still only so much you could do. You remember hearing, is it 2 weeks to flatten the curve or 3 weeks to flatten the curve? Don't go anywhere. Wear your mask. Don't touch. 6 feet apart. All of that. You know what? It seemed like still just about everybody got COVID. What happened? Well, not to extend speculation on that anymore, but to realize, no matter what extent you try to go to protect yourself, when there is an abundance of germs and pathogens and all that are harmful to us, we're susceptible. And you know, there are elements and influences and spirits and attitudes, ways of thinking all around us in our world that we of ourselves are susceptible unto. But the Lord is our keeper. He will preserve our soul. He can give us immunity against the influences of the things that we encounter on a daily basis. It's called the grace of God. He'll give us the grace to be able, where sin abounds, His grace can much more abound. We're talking today about the Lord's promises to us. There's a whole lot more that can be said about our responsibilities unto the Lord to keep ourselves in the love of God. But I want us to be encouraged today of the plan of God and of His promises as our keeper. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forevermore. There's not a day to come that is not included in this forevermore. From this time forward, it doesn't matter how dark and evil and wicked the world becomes. It doesn't matter what happens to this nation. It doesn't matter what happens to anybody else around me. The Lord is able to keep me. Whenever people look around, I remember someone saying to us a while back about our children. They were older in years, children already grown. Said, I pity you all having children in this kind of world that we live in. I thought, you know, I get it. I understand. It's discouraging. But the grace of God that was able to keep my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my father and me is going to be there to keep my children as well. It doesn't matter how dark and evil and wicked and perverse and corrupted this world becomes. The Lord is able to keep those that will commit their way unto Him. Even, it said, to your old age, yes, will I carry you. Oh, thank the Lord that He cares enough about us. Folks, He's never inattentive to us. It may feel like it at times when our eyes are veiled by this body, by this flesh and blood that I can't see. And as Job, I say, Lord, where are you? But we can be assured that our God, our keeper, is watching over us by night and by day. There's nothing that touches us except it passes through His hand. And when we need carried, the Lord will carry us. In closing, I think about what Jesus said as He lamented over Jerusalem. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks. What a beautiful picture of the love and the care that Christ has for His people. I wanted to. In their case, He said, you would not. You refused to come into the shelter of the protection that I had for you. Oh, how we need that protection. And it is the Lord's desire. When there's danger that comes our way, when the enemy has snares set for every one of us, it is the Lord's desire. It's like a hen that clucks and calls her children close. Come here. Get in closer and I'll shelter and I'll protect you. And as He broods over His people, as a hen broods over her chicks, checking on and clucking over, and understand the analogy. It's not mine, it's what Christ gave to check on, to care for, to protect at any cost. May we be encouraged today that the Lord is our keeper, that the Lord will preserve our soul from this time even forevermore. So let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Whenever distressing times and problems come, let's be like David, who said, when my heart is overwhelmed, I cry, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I need the shelter of my keeper. Every one of us are desperate for it. And we can have the reassurance that through the Lord's keeping power, He can preserve us throughout the entirety of our lives. That going in and coming out is a Hebrew idiom that expresses every aspect, facet of our lives is covered by this plan. Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we're faced with, the Lord will preserve us by His grace. You pray for me. Amen. Stand as we sing number 190.